dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome in once again to show 236, season 8 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. I'm Bruce Knox. I'll get to introduce these young men in just a second. But first, we want to tell you that we are sponsored by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn, open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can find all kinds of fun there, including Cardo's Pizza. You can have your parties and events. They've got, of course, the arcade, super inflatable land, lots of soccer going on, along with Good Eats, Bullseye Sports Bar, and, of course, they also are into limousine rentals. And we are still waiting on our first ride, but that's another thing. Give them a call at 740-773-7529 or look them up on the web, www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Remember, when you think of fun, think of Triple Crown. And now I want to introduce the two sports guys here, first being the young John Bruce. How are you, John?
I'm great. Took about a 6-hour nap today, and not on purpose.
Oh, okay.
So when I woke up and it was dark, I'm glad I remember that it's almost officially winter.
Yeah.
So I didn't freak out and miss getting in the studio tonight.
Well,
so I'm looking forward to today's show.
We're glad that you're here. We're recording on a Sunday night, folks, so he didn't skip work or anything like that. So, and then, of course, the soothsayer, the elder sportsman of the year for the SVC. He's got so many accolades that we can't say them all, Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how are you?
Doing great, Bruce. I throughout the week, I wanted to just give a shout-out to all the people who stopped me at games and so forth. I was in the gym, as always, probably about 5 or 6 different times this week over about 4 different schools. And it's just neat that you won't get out of the gym after a game, or you won't go to a concession stand or wherever you may be without someone mentioning the show in some way. Maybe it's a topic, maybe it's a particular discussion point, whatever. And that's what makes it really, really fun. I know last week's agenda was incredible from the fan feedback. Not as many emails this week, but again, the face-to-face in-person conversations, really, really fun this week. And I think we have some great topics here again tonight.
Well, we do. And as last week, we started off a new section when we're calling Hoop Headlines, and that's where we're going to start tonight. Each of the gentlemen will give us a headline. We'll start first with the boys, and we'll go to John for his hoop headline of the week.
All right. My headline is 5 years is a mighty long time for a streak. So our SBC conference winning streak ended on Friday night in a 69-50 loss to Zane Trace. I mean, it was 5 years, 1,825 days, and 69 contests in between the losses to Zane Trace. Mm-hmm. It was the start of the 2013-2014 season, and then the start to this season. 42 different players suited up for Unionet in that time for the winning streak. So it was a lot of different guys, a lot of people contributed. Really cool for the community and school to get behind. But man, we ran into a buzzsaw on Friday night. Zane Trace is unbelievable.
Good.
Not a lot of depth, but I mean, 25 points from Cam Evans, and we did a fairly good job on him overall. And he still puts up 25. Nick Nesser was just lights out. He had 20, mostly in the second half. It was maybe the toughest I'd seen him play, the strongest. And, you know, you go at the hoop, Trayton Davidson is going to change shots. Colby Swain, who I'll talk about a little bit more later, was just all over the place. Luke Johnson, he just does little things that, you know, contribute to winning games for Coach Kello. I mean, that's a very good team. It was an unbelievable atmosphere. I mean, even for the JV game, it appeared the bleachers were completely full, and it was loud. The student sections were loud. Everybody, it was classy. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody, the St. Tracy Unita rivalry has moved a little bit forward, based on the fact that it's a little less vicious, but it's still just passionate. So it was really cool to be a part of that atmosphere. And as a coach, it was really cool to be a part of something like that. But like Coach Hoops has said constantly, every year's different. Yeah. And, glad we were able to move on Saturday night and get a win for this group also.
All right. Thank you for your hoop headline for the boys' side. Well, Shane, we'll move to you and your contribution for the boys.
Guys, before I get to the headline, I went I guess there's a little bit of an indirect connection to the streak, but before I do get to mine, I want to congratulate Uniota and Coach Hoops, obviously a high school teammate and a really good friend of mine, on the streak. We've been a little guilty on SVC Sports Talk, we've said over the years, of maybe sometimes just saying, oh, yeah, Uniota keeps winning 14 games every year, and then go, oh, and I think sometimes maybe we just didn't stop to appreciate just how incredible that was. So, again, congratulations. Although some really neat numbers that John had there in terms of the players and the different people that go into making something like that happen. So, guys, on my hoop headline this week, I'm going to call it the guard guarantee. And with my guard bias, I just feel like when you study the game of basketball, it doesn't matter high school, college, NBA, whatever it is, the guard guarantee lets you know that if you're decent at guard, then you're going to be decent as a team. If you're good at guard, you're going to be a good team. If you're great at guard, you got a chance to be really special. And I think that's really evident in this year's SVC. You know, on the boys' side, when I watch this year's Zane Trace team play with Colby Swain, then obviously with Cam Evans moving off the point, and even if you want to include a kind of a point forward in today's modern game with a kid like Nesser at his size, I don't know if there's a player in the league, John, that has just a better, I guess, feel would be the word, a better feel for the game. I mean, his ability to pass and do some different things at his side, just really, really skilled. And I just think that makes the game so easy to play. I think even though we're on the boys' headline here, even the girls give us an example of this on the Uniota side. Obviously, Fisher's phenomenal. I mean, really, really good. But as you heard me say before, when you have an Emily Coleman, when you have an Amber Cottrell, and I would even throw in, Hallie Pinkerton, a Cree Stolle type of ball skill as well, it just makes the game easier to play. Coach Miller at Uniota is such a good X and O person in the half court that he's able to just think about what he wants to run. I'm assuming he doesn't spend very many matchups throughout the year thinking, now, okay, if we get pressed in the full court, we're going to do this, or if we get pressed in the half court, we got to do this, or, they just handle the ball and get into the set and go. And I think Zane Trace on the boys' side give you a little bit of that as well. Their ability to transition from defense to offense is unreal. When they take the ball off of a missed shot or even off of a make, and Evans starts streaking that right side, Swain is outstanding and is so quick and so fast with the ball in their ability to push it forward. Then, like I said, so you're trying to match up with arguably the most talented kid in the league, and you also have a kid like a Nesser who is such a matchup nightmare at his size and his versatility. And I just think if you go down through, guys, we talked about the streak here. It's been on display with a Logan Swackhammer, Brandon Kennedy, and in terms of, and now you look this year, Uniota has pieces. I mean, Uniota's going to be fine. They have a lot of talented basketball players, but in the early going, I might need more of a sample size. I think you would probably question just their consistent guard play in terms of decision making, not talent, not ability to score it, not the ability to shoot it. Obviously they shot it really well the other night on Saturday. but some of the decision making. And when I see this year's Paint Valley team, Cruz McFadden, Caden Grubb, you look to the top of the standings. I think they're going to push Paint Valley and compete for one of these top spots. You know, Bryce Newland's going to be a consistent kid. I think it's going to come down to guard play and so forth. Garrison and Bennett, mm-hmm. Those are two kids. I Garrison got a lot of attention last year. I told a lot of coaches last year that the Bennett kid was going to be really special. And I think when you look Garrison and Bennett at their body types, John, with the way they're so lanky and athletic, mm-hmm. and their feel for the game, Westfall has pieces. Will they get guard play to allow some of that new talent, some of the depth of talent to go? We know about Ruby, and we know about Bland, we know about McCloskey, but the thing I think is you get down to some of the teams still trying to find themselves. It's not the individual guard; it's the guard play. It's the overall backcourt, because you can do enough to try to get one guard at least under control on a lot of nights, but it's when the team has two and three guards or that can really handle it. Now all of a sudden they become hard to pressure. Now all of a sudden it becomes hard to force the ball to their hand, because you're allowing some pretty good playmakers to then take the ball and make pretty easy plays for themselves and other teammates. So I think that's the thing I would really look at, Bruce, in the early going here is just guard play as a whole, and 9 chances out of 10, if you analyze the guard play, you just end up analyzing the standings top to bottom almost accidentally.
All right, before we go to the girls, we want to mention our other sponsor, North Fork Animal Clinic, and Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff at 2260 Anderson Station Road. They're the veterinary clinic where we care. They're open, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12. And, of course, they have the pet resort where you can drop off your little minions Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., a little expanded time there on the weekend because they know people are getting late back into town and so forth. You want to pick them up. They're open till 6 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. That's North Fork Animal Clinic. We appreciate their sponsorship on the podcast here. Gentlemen, we move to the girls' side for your hoops headline, and we'll go back to John for his girls' headline.
All right, I'll stay talking about streaks. Speaking of streaks, Piketon has rolled off 4 straight wins since losing on opening night. Grace Lytle in that time has averaged right around 17 points a game. Well, you're also seeing Allie Crothers and Brianna Odell in the box score every night, giving them 3 consistent scores in double figures every night. Then you've also had Allie Ritchie and Ava Little also contributing, getting double figures during this little mini winning streak. And if Aiton can score consistently with how Coach Carino coaches defense, man, they're going to be a team to watch out for. And, maybe they're not going to get to the top two, but they're going to be a team that's going to be have a chance to go for that number 3 spot and have a chance to make a little noise in the term. And also, they're going to be an interesting team to watch out for.
All right, Shane, your contribution on the girls' side?
I'm going to go with prove it to yourself. I think you have about 5 schools right now maybe wanting to challenge Huntington for the 2, but all probably understand that they are also capable of falling to 7. I think to piggyback off what John just said, you look at that Piketon Paint Valley game. Since Piketon won 4 straight, Paint Valley hasn't won since. And I've heard people mentioned the scheduling and all that particular thing for Paint Valley, but at the end of the year you are what your record says you are, so the schedule is what it is, and you have to play through that. So I just think when you have a lot of teams right here in the middle that are going to think to themselves, we always are self-evaluating, John, as coaches, mm-hmm. I think you probably have a lot of teams saying, okay, if we do this and this, we think we can climb to 3rd and maybe challenge up there in that 2-hole. But, man, if we do this, and this, we could be 7th. so it's one of those things. That's just what it is. I know – think of a couple games that jump right out at me. I could pull up the scoreboard here and look. I don't have it in front of me. But if I remember right, Southeastern led all the way. The other night, and then Piketon won the game by one. You know, in our quarter stops. If I'm not mistaken, a couple weeks back, flipped the script, and it was Westfall that led all the way against Southeastern, and then Southeastern had the big fourth quarter to win. So I just think you're looking at a lot of matchups in our girls' league. And, you know, right now, Bruce, I mean, I think it's still too early to tell until we see a round of some head-to-head matchups, because I think you have some people that, probably are still trying to figure out how good they are or what they do well or you know, how they're going to match up with certain teams. I know there's some nice young kids in the league mixing with some old, and I think that the offense has probably been a little bit better spot than maybe we expected. But I think you have a lot of teams that are going to have to prove it to themselves, because they probably don't even know for sure where they stand at this point.
All right, guys, that's our Hoops headlines. We'll be back at it next week. If you got an idea, we'll tell you how to contribute in a little bit. But up next, we head into the inbox. As a new SVC fan, we'll have us talking about all the SVC sports and how basketball measures up in this area. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Their phone number is 740-986-4653. You can look them up on the web at crownhillgolfclub.com. And right now they have their winter membership sale going on, where you can take advantage of some great savings on memberships right now. For a limited time, take 10% off of any yearly membership. All memberships are valid for one calendar year, by the way. You could also get some gift cards. They're available for purchase online, so that'll help you with your holiday shopping. You can shop at home. Just go to crownhillgolfclub.com/club/store. And, of course, if you talk to them, let them know the boys from SVC Sports Talk sent you. Guys, we have an email here, and Shane was so kind of forwarded along to me so that I could read it here. It says, I am new to the area and therefore new to your website. I think it's awesome that kids in this area have something like this. What sport or sports are the best sports in the league? And how, well, I'll just stop right there, okay? What sport or sports are the best sports in the league? I'll just kind of throw it out there and let you guys mull that one over for a little bit.
Well, I'll jump in here, John, and say that when I first read the email, it's kind of difficult to say until you understand what's going to be your so to speak on how you're going to measure. Are you looking at product that we put on the court or the field or the course on, you know, every time out, or are you comparing it to some other leagues around? Are you comparing it to Southern Ohio? Or are you comparing? So there's a lot of different things. I guess for me, I'll just take that first question that he throws out, is it the best sport in the league? I would say probably our top ones would be maybe a volleyball, baseball, softball. Just to throw some discussion points out there, I think soccer, wrestling are awfully new. I think cross-country, track, golf really take on a different look as we get later into this email. I think they come back into discussion. I do think, guys, football is better. I grew up in a time where it was Paint Valley, Westfall, Piketon, with Edina kind of jumping in there every now and then, where now when you look Southeastern, especially Unio to Zane Trace over the last decade, getting better and better at football, and then Huntington being very competitive this year. So football is getting better. And then basketball, again, once upon a time, probably a little bit more elite throughout the 80s and 90s, certainly on its way back. I think the boys certainly getting better. I think the girls still kind of hit and miss or has a ways to go. But that's how I would kind of summarize it in my mind. And then as a result of that, John, I would probably set the debate for volleyball, baseball, softball. But again, in order to break those down, I think you'd have to maybe agree on how you want to measure these things in terms of what are we basing it on. Well, I'll throw that to you just off my summary there and see if you can kind of maybe help clarify me a little bit better.
I just want to point out how much of a teacher you really are by issuing – talk about rubrics.
Yeah.
I try – even as a teacher now, I try to avoid rubrics. I mean, obviously, you use them, but I don't like to talk about them. So, especially in sports. But I agree with you on the volleyball, baseball, softball being our tops. But really, if you look around the league, there's not a bad sport. We have usually we're very competitive in the tournament at whatever we're doing. Football's getting there. We've got to week 12 the last couple of years. I know Zane Trace got to week 13 a few years back. I mean, it's getting there consistently, and that's obviously a really good thing. But I mean, volleyball consistently have teams in the regionals. I mean, I know in the past we've had teams at state. I know one year we had two teams at state in different divisions. But, you know, baseball and softball are just lights out in the spring, just outstanding. Even in down years, we're having teams go to the tournament. Softball was, I believe, our last state tournament was Westfall in 2014, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
team-wise, yeah.
You touched on individuals. Team-wise. But then, like you mentioned with individuals, cross-country, golf, track, outstanding sports, especially when it gets to the tournament times. Usually that's the top half of the league, and that's why I would say volleyball, baseball, softball, because like top to bottom is probably better. But really, every year we have very competitive teams at the top.
It is kind of hard. It is kind of hard to answer that question, isn't it, Shane? I get what you're saying there. You know, how you evaluate and so forth really makes a big difference.
Well, yeah, because if you give the eye test, you know, sometimes you might just be breaking it down in terms of the product on the, on the course, whatever, in terms of, hey, this is really, really good, or it's not so good. But then a lot of times when you start comparing it, as I know you're getting ready to get into a little bit, that's when the discussion takes on a different life.
Well, let's get to the last part of the email here. It goes on to say, how does the SVC, especially basketball, measure up with this part of Ohio? So now we've got some context here. What say you?
Yeah, well, this is where I was just saying a second ago of, obviously soccer and wrestling very new and we'll need more sample size probably. But this is where like a cross country track golf really start to jump up into the discussion because, when you have some elite performers like your Uniota boys and Trace girls, some of these individual runners throughout, or, we've had track state champions and here recently, that's golf. A lot of times we think our scores are down. You start comparing them around the area. Yeah. Our golf's really, really good. Football, we mentioned getting better. So for basketball, I guess for me, around Southern Ohio, I certainly think the boys, it's on its way back. We are starting to play a much better brand of basketball that travels a little bit, that's a little bit more tournament tested. Obviously in the early 90s, some of our teams into the 80s, early 90s there. I know SVC was in the state tournament back to back years in 90 and 91 with Southeastern Uniota. Piketon, I think, went to the regional 92. And then we started to late 90s started to drift away, but really we've come on back. I know Piketon's been really good. Obviously, Uniota's been really good. I think the other thing, John, that's interesting here are the sports that get to split into a lot of divisions. I think that helps in fairness to some of our sports. I think like with track and cross country and golf, I think they get an opportunity to split a little bit. With Uniota being two in some girls sports and Paint Valley being four, that allows our teams to spread a little bit. So I think that's a factor. But I would make this point before I pass it to you. I've said this for a long time as I've studied it. Volleyball is really, really good across Southern Ohio. So you can say what you want about is our volleyball good or not in terms of just the eye test. But if you're comparing it across Southern Ohio, there's no contest. It's just better. And so that's probably the biggest thing where baseball and softball, you could argue, play a better brand of their particular sport. But the particular sports are just a lot better around Southern Ohio too. Therefore, the competition at the sectional, especially at the sectional level, that's not even debatable from the volleyball people. even in the district level, probably played better. So that's probably in this Ohio discussion. I would certainly give volleyball the nod in terms of if you're comparing it to Ohio. But as far as basketball, girls basketball has a long way to go in this area. Boys basketball certainly getting better. So that's probably where I would go on that, John. Your thoughts on that last part of the email?
Yeah, I believe, you know, there's been times in the past we've been at the top. I would say we're closer probably to the middle of the pack, but trending towards, you know, the top end. I mean, Southern Ohio Conference and boys and girls basketball is just outstanding, especially in the SOC 2 with the bigger schools. You know, even the smaller schools make big runs with their division. So I would say we'd be a little bit behind. If you go across, like when we get to the tournament, I mean, we're having teams being very competitive. Like we had Southeastern win 5 regular season games a couple years ago, being tested throughout the year, and then they go to the regional because, you know, they played good basketball, just couldn't get wins early. So, I mean, SEC is going to challenge you, and like you said, it's a little better brand of basketball now, especially on the boys' side. So, I mean, it goes to being able to be competitive in the tournament. But also, on the girls' side, even when we haven't had the depth of the league being really good recently, we've still had some really good teams at the top. Southeastern, I mean, we might have had the best player in league history the last 4 years. So, we've had some really good teams and can compete. And like you said, with the other sports, like volleyball, I think we're just head and shoulders above other leagues. I mean, every once in a while we'll lose to a Alexander or Wheelersburg in the tournament in volleyball, but I mean, more times than not, our third and fourth place teams are beating them to get to the regionals. So, and those are just the two teams. Those are the two programs that are really good from around the district. But like with the girls' side, SOC, Southern Hills, even the TVC, you know, I believe are, you know, better than we are right now. But I like the coaches around the league. I think we're doing a better job with our youth basketball. And I think it'll be on its way back. I mean, we got some passionate kids, passionate coaches. So I think it'll be on its way back soon. So it's something really to look forward to, is seeing the improvement for the girls side. And if the boys side can continue to kind of go up into the upper echelon for Southeast District.
John, did you find yourself on this real quick? Did you find yourself more leaning towards depth or what the elite teams do, tournament success? What did you find yourself leaning toward when you started to make your opinions?
Just kind of depth, because if you look at just the top end, then you have like the TVC Ohio, where you have Vinton County, who's consistently there. Athens, Alexander are really good. But then at the bottom, there it's just not very good, if I'm being completely honest. And I think especially a year like this year in the SBC, I mean, maybe not 1 through 8 to get to top, but 2 through 7, I think, are going to be fairly even. I think St. Trace is a little bit above everyone else, but, you know, right now, I think the depth of the league is where I would put them in the higher end of that. And that's where I think the SOC has a little better depth and is better at the top, you know, consistently. But I just think we have just so much depth. And like you said, we have elite teams from time to time also.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, guys, all that sparked by one little email. So if you have something that you would like to contribute, we'll get to that in just a little bit on how you can do that. Next, we take a series of basketball questions where we are sure to highlight several types of players. And our next section of the podcast, again brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. You want to complete your golfing shopping early, and you can do that by getting on the website at crownhillgolfclub.com and taking advantage of some of their winter membership sales that are going on right now. Take advantage of some great savings on memberships. With the limited time, you can take 10% off on a yearly membership and some other things that they've got going up there. You can always just get a gift card. Those are available for purchase online as well. You can shop at home, crownhillgolfclub.com/club/store, and they are available by telephone, 740-986-4653, to answer your questions and your calls. And we do appreciate those guys giving us a little sponsorship at this time for the podcast. Well, guys, we're going to get into something here that a little different. It's going to give you guys an opportunity to introduce or to mention several different guys and girls that play in the basketball. We have some categories, I think, that I'd call them, set up. The first one being the newcomer. And I will let John kind of set this up.
All right, so Shane, so whenever I think of newcomer, you know, outside of the funeral homes, I think of someone that's new to varsity basketball. So it doesn't, to me, it doesn't necessarily have to be a freshman. It can be a first year junior, first year sophomore. It can be a move in from another district or state. Is there anyone in the, who would you put on that level on the girls' side?
I think the easy pick here, John, is Allison Basie of Huntington. Yeah. But I think, and maybe I'm looking way too detailed into this. I think with Allison, you had watched her come up in the area in the sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. That it was, yeah, by definition, she's a newcomer. But I don't even know that I would put her into this category, which is probably unfair to her because that's what she is. Mm-hmm. But she's just kind of. That was already assumed, if that makes sense. A lot of times when I looked at newcomer in this category, I was looking at maybe, yes, first year varsity or new to or the varsity level. But I was also looking, you know, someone maybe from off the radar a little bit more or so forth. So, you know, obviously, Basie was right there at the top. And Olivia Smith of Paint Valley has been good. The Adina young kid's good. Mollins of Westfall has been good. But you heard me talk about in the past, I thought for me it was Macy Graves of Southeastern. I just think that with her being new to at least the varsity level in our league, she's been terrific. And when you consider what they've happened, as I mentioned on last week's show, with what's happened with Skylar Heiss there, she's just been a great savior for Coach Adams and the Lady Panthers in terms of her ability to score and rebound and you know, just athletically, I'm sure, to defend and do a lot of different things. So I thought what was interesting, as I was thinking on the girls' side, let me throw it back to you, John. Boys' side, I see a young kid here for Paint Valley. I don't want to say too many names because I want to take a few. Mm-hmm. I see Southeastern playing a lot of young kids that jumped out of me. I've also seen some move-ins to our area that have been really, really elite and making some teams a little bit better than I thought. So those are some teasers maybe out there that I would put out there. Any of those, you know, kind of go with yours, or you got something that maybe I'm not mentioning yet?
No, those are you pretty much nailed it on that. Nailed it. Cordell Grubb, Paint Valley. He's a freshman. I watched him last year. I think it was 33 points in an eighth grade game. So yeah. I thought there's a chance he could do it. I didn't know if he would do it immediately, but he's been able to contribute to Paint Valley. Was in double figures on Friday in their win for Piketon. He can score a lot of different ways. He's you know, obviously, as physicality and speed of the game might get to him early. But he's going to be a big contributor for Paint Valley throughout the year. And, you know, he's somewhat what I expected, but he's been a little bit better than I expected also. Then when you say a newcomer from out of the area, you just look at Nate Reed from
no doubt.
For Westfall. Yeah. Double-double on Friday, and they're winning. And he came, his family moved from Florida. He's 6'5", very athletic, can jump out of the gym. That is a huge, huge addition for the Mustangs, especially when they didn't have a whole lot of size coming back. I mean, you mix him with another first year varsity player. I was like, Jared Kaiser. He's our player who missed the last 4 years. I mean, that's 6'5", 6'6", an issue for a lot of teams because they're thinner players, but they're really athletic. And that's going to be a couple of guys that could cause some headaches for people. If the Mustangs can handle the ball, they're going to be a team that they're not going to be the pushover I think a lot of people thought they were going to be. So, those two I mentioned. Eric Hill from Southeastern, he had a double-double against Westfall. He's 6'5", he's a sophomore, really strong, good finisher around the hoop. So he's one of those that would fit in that first-year varsity player. I mean, if you just look at Southeastern's roster, though, I mean, five freshmen, Aaron Evans, Luke Corcoran, Derek Wheeler, Aiden Estep, Parker George. I mean, I watched Corcoran, Wheeler, and Estep all contribute in their game against Portsmouth, who super fast athletic team, and you could just tell that they expected to be competitive. And those three plus Evans and George, that's going to be a solid foundation for them. And that's partially what I mentioned last week with Lane Ruby bringing young kids along. I mean, three freshmen playing big minutes, that's pretty good. So that's four that are playing big minutes for Southeastern that are newcomers. And they haven't had a lot of winning success early, but, it'll come, especially throughout the year. Another Dalton Haubau from Huntington. He's splitting time between JV and varsity, but super quick. Throughout the year, I think he'll get a little bit more playing time in the varsity as a compliment to Elijah McCloskey, maybe taking him off the ball a little bit. I think he can do it. He's solid, strong, very athletic. I'll mention one from UDO, Cameron DeBoard. Carson played a little bit more last year on varsity. Cameron, I think we thought was going to be more of a contributor and then had a ankle injury early in the year. Just kind of slowed things down. But he had 20 points last night against Huntington. Just really good. Another really good sophomore. This sophomore class across the league is really good. And it's going to be really fun to watch them throughout the years.
Yeah, I would throw Carissa Wheeler in there on the girls' side, mm-hmm. too. And you mentioned Hill there, Southeastern. I guess on my boys' side, I didn't have him down. I guess technically he did play four or five games before getting hurt last year. Maybe he'd be the high school version of our redshirt freshman. But no, those are some good names. And I do think it's interesting, Bruce, on the newcomer, the quicker some of your newcomers are able to settle in and produce is kind of where some of your teams start to move up the standings or down the standings, maybe compared to where you were predicted to do so in the preseason.
All right, guys, our next category is a player that we would call an X factor. John, you want to pick up on this?
So, if you look at X factor, you can think of it a variety of different ways. Someone who does little things, someone who will make big shots, someone that always, it may not show up in the box score, but can impact a game in a variety of ways. And every coach wants a player like that. Shane, who would you say on the girls' side would be an X factor?
Well, I think when you talk to coaches, these are the kids that you appreciate so much that maybe the average fan wouldn't consider. I think when you start with like a Uniota, for example, anyone not named Josie Fisher probably leads some of the things into this category. Josie's going to get a lot of attention for the production, and rightfully so. She's terrific. As you heard me mention in my opening, there's a lot of kids there that would fall into some of those X factor things. I think if you go through the standings there as well, like a Riley Black, that's a Huntington team that's not deep. They're not really big. She goes to work in the post defensively. Riley's probably a kid that would be at her best as a stretch four, where she could shoot the three a little bit more and do some different things where, for the good of that team, maybe has to bang a little bit more and do some different things. So That's an interesting one to look at as well. And as I move down, I think I would probably go to Piketon for my number one selection here in LA Crothers. I don't know that we have a more improved player in our league this year, guys. We knew how good Grace Lytle would be. We knew Odell, if healthy, was going to be a pretty nice player. But Allie Crothers is terrific. Sure, her feet have really gotten better. She's really solid in the post. She gets the free throw line a lot, can rebound, has some length to her, some athleticism. And I think that's the kid that when she's scoring in that double figures, when she's flirting with the double-double each night, boy, does she take them to another level. So you kind of know what you're going to get with Lytle and Odell with some solid guard play there. But for me, I would probably go Crothers there. Now, when I go to the boy side, I mentioned a lot of guard play, John. Would you, from the X Factor, do you find yourself leaning to the guard, or are you going to take us into the post a little bit more here on the boy side?
If I had to go one X factor, I literally wrote one name down, but I have others. But the one above and beyond is Colby Swain from Zane Trace. Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's improved so much on the offensive side that you had to account for him. Now, last year, I mean, there were times where you didn't have to account for him. But man, he had, I think it was either three or four steals and easy layups against us on Friday. Then he puts up 19 points on Saturday. I mean, he handles the ball. He is an unreal defender. He's super gritty. He's somebody you do not want guarding you. I mean, he's 6 foot tall and guarded 6'6" Javon Moffmer the other night for Chillicothe. And I mean, you could just tell Moffmer was not comfortable with that because he was just so into him the whole game. And he did a really good job on him. And that's a possible Division I player that we have a 6 foot guard guarding, and then he handles the ball. So, I mean, he's somebody that any team wants and any team hates playing against. So I think as a guard, that's almost an ultimate compliment. Now, if you go throughout the league, if you talk about in the post, undersized players, Blake Reeder, Piketon, I've loved watching this kid for 3 years.
Yeah.
He's 6 foot. He takes charges. He battles inside. He can shoot a little bit from about 15 feet out. You have to account for him. Man, he works hard. And it's just, he's one of those kids that you know, just watching, I smile watching him all the time. Caden Grubb of Paint Valley is another guard that can do a lot of little things. He's a little bit in that Swain category of really good active defender that's hound you all over the court that you don't want on you. And he can score a little bit. I mean, he put up 22 on Saturday against St. Trace. So you can't ignore him because he's going to hurt you. Adina is another place where I looked. Jacob Shipley. I mean, you know what you're getting with Fout, Garrison, Sykes, Fogelsong, Bennett. But then you bring a kid like Shipley off the bench who can just absolutely just shoot the ball. I mean, if he's your sixth man, seventh man, if Throckmorton comes back healthy, I mean, that's a kid who he can stretch defenses. He can guard a little bit, but he might be the best pure shooter in the league right now. And that's a huge thing for them to get some extra floor spacing. So those are some kids I would look at if I'm talking X Factors in the boys league.
Hey, a couple comments on that real quick. If I'm not mistaken, the Reeder kid walked into Waverly last year, I think it was, and he had a shirt on, and on the back of it, I was like, what's that say? And if I'm not mistaken, the back of his shirt had the definition of a charge on it. So, and boy, was that fitting if that's what it did say.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask you about the Swain kid, because we had such a talk last week about McCloskey and Evans and so forth, and you know, in fairness to McCloskey, I do think we need to recognize what Colby Swain does in terms of allowing Cam Evans to get off the point. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Cam can certainly go to the point still and be just fine. I mean, the Evans kid's terrific. I mean, he keeps his shoulders square to the rim, and he just scores easy. Like, I joked the other night, even like, is it possible to have a quiet 32? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's just, he's really, really, really nice. But I think a lot of times, as I said in the opening, it's not the individual guard, it's the overall guard play. And when you have overall guard play, boy, does it make playing offense as a unit just a lot easier. Possibly now moving forward, for things that we won't really talk about on SVC Sports Talk, dealing with high school kids, possibly moving forward now, some help's on the way there at Huntington, and maybe they'll look completely different here in a week or two.
I agree.
But the situations, I think, when you mentioned him, I thought that took me back to last week, and I just thought that was something that, as an opposing coach, I think we would all agree. And maybe you can comment on this before Bruce takes us to the next. We would all agree that if I'm going to game plan for Cam Evans right now compared to game planning for Elijah McCloskey, you almost can't even key on Evans, or you're just going to get scorched by two or three other kids if you just totally leave them alone.
Yeah. I mean, Friday, we did more of concentrating on Cam, and that's when Nick Nesser went kind of crazy in the second half on us. I mean, it's – and that helps with Swain, because last night we tried to – get the ball out of McCloskey's hands, and when we were able to do it, their offense wasn't great. Now, like you mentioned, Evans doesn't even have to have the ball, so now he can go off screens, he can do different things to get the ball as opposed to trying to set the offense up, and that is a huge advantage for them with having Colby Swain now.
Yeah, because I think, Bruce, like on the girls' side, if I take what he's saying there, when I look at like a Leah McFadden at Paint Valley or even a Grace Lytle at Piketon there, you know, what they're asked to do, they wouldn't necessarily go into the X-factor category because you look at them such elite players, yet they're asked sometimes to do the star role and the X-factor role in one, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more pressure on the Elijah McCloskeys of the world where, you know, Braden Collins and an Amber Cottrell are special X-factor types of players. We probably don't give them enough credit for their defense and some other things they do. But at the same time, the names like an Allison Basie and Emily Coleman, a Cree Stolle, Holly Pinkerton, you know, there's kids that can add to some of the different things they do. So I think that's a really neat connection back to last week's email that I thought I wanted to make there before we moved on, Bruce.
All right, guys, next category is surprise team. John, why don't you kind of start us off there?
All right, so you can look at it a variety of ways. I think it's a little early to go on the surprise team, but I always like talking about this category. It can be, are you surprised that they're doing so well? Or are you surprised they're struggling? It could have something to do with the schedule. It could have something to do with players being in or out, injuries, other things factoring into the teams. Who would be some of your surprise teams, Shane?
Guys, I don't mean to dodge a question, but I think John said it with it being kind of early. The answer I have in my notes here is none. I think when I look at the standings, teams are about who I thought they would be at this point. You know, Uniota's there at the top. Huntington lost the one game to Uniota. They lost another one to McLean. Python's run off four straight now, but I think a 4-1, 5-0 start, knowing Coach Carino as well as I do, was certainly probably something they thought they could have. And then we've played a lot of close games there in the middle of the standings. I know Adina's down there at 0-4, but man, they've played some really, really good first three quarters in terms of some of these games. So for the girls' league, John, which sometimes can be a little bit more predictable than the guys' league, I would say none. Go to the boy side, though. I know for sure who mine is, but that could be is where I had the expectation going into the year, because that's the other part of this category. I think the surprise for you individually is going to be based on, well, what did you think going in the first place? You know, so like, for example, if I thought a team was going to be really good and then they're really bad, that surprises me. But if I thought a team was going to struggle a little bit and then all of a sudden you watch them play and you're like, oh, wow, they're really good. They're really talented. So I know for sure on the boys' side where I would go, but I certainly don't want to, you know, say aloud here because I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little boys' surprise teams. What say you?
I pretty much agree with you on the, you know, not really a none. So I kind of looked at it a different way and just went with the first week of SBC play. So I would say Piketon. After watching them against Chesapeake, and it was the first three quarters. They just utterly dominated the game, like how they did up at the preview. They were just flying around everywhere, and then all of a sudden it just kind of fell apart. And then they went and beat a good West Union team at West Union, and then this weekend they got down big in both games and ended up losing by double figures to Paint Valley and Edina. Now them losing isn't the surprise, because I mean I like I've mentioned a lot, I think this league is very even top to bottom, but I thought they'd be, I mean, down 16 at halftime against Paint Valley is not something I expected. I thought that'd be a really close nip and tuck game all game, and I know they got it really close late, but you know, it was kind of, to me, it did surprise me when I saw those final scores. I believe you're talking about how good St. Trace is as another surprise team. I thought they had a chance to be as good as they are, but man, they are good. And quick. I mean, obviously, you know, you knew they had a lot of experience back. We've known how good Cam Evans is, but they start and mostly play five juniors. That's going to be fun for the league for the next 2 years. I guess I would put them in a surprise with how easily they handled Chillicothe on Tuesday. But I kind of expected it, but not to the extent of what they've been so far.
Well, I'll say this. I agree completely with you on Zane Trace. I knew that they were going to be good. And with Piketon, that's a fair point. I think Paint Valley and Edina, I think it goes back to wherever you thought Paint Valley and Edina was going to be. Mm-hmm. I think Paint Valley still has an adjustment period, but their offensive talent, I think, is what's going to keep them really, really competitive early on. And then I think the defense will come on it as they go. But for me, John, I want to get your take, because I know you know these kids well, and you touched on earlier. The biggest surprise on the boys' side is Westfall. I had no idea that they were going to be this competitive. I thought that they would be a team, you know, kind of in a 7-8 hole, and maybe they still will be in this league, but regardless of what their record ends up being, they're going to put a far more competitive product. They easily started 2-0 this past weekend, went 1-1, but man, their talent level's a lot better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, they're a team that if you looked at 2 years ago, they won the I believe they either won or finished second in the JV league, and a lot of those kids moved up last year and they really struggled with the varsity. But then you added, like I mentioned earlier, 6-5 and a 6-6, and
sure,
yeah. I mean, and that gives a team that was just super guard heavy a chance to, you know, defend a little bit more, to be a little more aggressive on the defensive side, because okay, well now we have shot blockers. Or people that can at least worry someone when they're going at the hoop.
Right.
So, you know, it is a surprise, because, you know, usually if you have a kid move in from somewhere else, you just never know. But, you know, they have decent guard play. They've handled the ball a little bit better early on. I thought they did a fairly good job with McLean's pressure, and really outside of, you know, and possibly Piketon. And I mean, we have some teams that really can guard the ball, but McLean and Zane Trace are going to be the two really ones to look for. And
right.
I thought they did a decent job against McLean, handled the ball. They just couldn't score early. And then once they did start to score, it was a little bit too late, but they're going to be a team, especially at Westfall, because no one likes to go up there. No one likes to play in the dome, at least that I know of. So it's a tough place to play. They're now more of a difficult matchup than they were. I can see what you're saying about how they are going to be a tough matchup. Now, one thing I'll say I wanted to add about Piketon is, you know, they have Blanton, obviously, and I talked about Reeder earlier. They're a team that they rely on a lot of their pressure. And if you look at the two teams they played, I mean, Cruz McFadden's done it for 2 years. You're facing
Garrison and Sykes and company. Then yeah. Those guys have been through it too. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're facing teams that have had really good guard play. So don't sleep on Payton, because they're a team that can put a lot of pressure on you. And with an exciting player like Blanton, that's where my surprise was. It was just the differential. But they're definitely a team I would watch for, just based on how they want to play.
Yeah, Bruce, I think that's fair, because, you know, Lido had the nice night there Saturday as well. That's a good sign for them. Mm-hmm. I think Payton will be fine. But, yeah, pretty good category, Bruce. Maybe too early for it, but something that certainly can give fans something to watch for here in the next week or two.
Well, we mentioned early in the year, this is kind of one that's maybe a little qualified, but it says biggest win early in the year. John?
Yeah, it is early, but a lot of teams have played at least three games, four or five. What would you say is the biggest win? It doesn't necessarily have to be a big upset or, something that wasn't fully unexpected, but, you know, maybe differential or just how well a team looked in that win. What would you say, Shane?
Yeah, I kind of look at it. Be some of the standing games. I even asked around the league. Some people said don't forget about just the Uniote over Huntington win. You know what I mean? Some people said that how many teams can really go toe-to-toe for 32 minutes and beat Uniote? Like, one fan joked that they think it clinched a share of the league. Mm-hmm. And that's that fan's opinion, and I certainly understand. But so they said not to overlook that. If you want a standings game, maybe the Payton 42-41 win over Southeastern. Mm-hmm. Again, we talked about how tight 3 through 7 could be. So that's probably would be my selection, but I certainly wanted to throw out that fan pick of the Uniote over Huntington. On the boys' side, you know, we even have less of a sample size. I don't know, John. You going non-league with like a ZT Chili, or are you looking, you know, obviously the historic value of Zane Trace over Uniote? I kind of threw out some different ones there on the boys' side. I know you watched some really close ones when you scouted early in the year. I know you don't have very many to pick from. What would you think of?
Really, you can say two with the Zane Trace over one over Chillicothe and one over Uniota. One for I believe it's their first win ever over Chillicothe. And it was kind of a dominating win. I mean, 12 yeah. points may not seem like it, but when you give up, you don't give up 30 points.
Yeah,
until
that's impressive.
A minute of 30 left against Chillicothe and their offense talent. That was a big win. And then at Uniota, you know, it's playing in front of a big crowd, a passionate crowd. And then just jumping out to a 9-0 lead immediately. I know Uniota made a little run to get it to 9-7, and then the second half closed it in a little bit. But, man, they looked really good this past week. If you go kind of elsewhere, Paint Valley winning by 11 down at Payton.
Yeah, it's standing type of thing, isn't it? Yeah,
really tough place to win, too. So that's like you said, just they're coming off a decent playoff run with a new coach, new style, and to go game like that early in the year, I think that says a lot about where they're going to be midway and towards the end of the year. Also, you know, another standings game is Westfall at Huntington. I know Huntington was down one, but they're down a player, but it's still, you know, you don't know what to expect. It's really hard to win in the township, and you know, for Westfall to go and kind of control the game is really impressive. And I mean, we've talked about them more today than I think possibly we thought before the season we would talk about them on any one show. So I think those are a couple to look at. I mean, we struggled a bit in the non-league, but I mean, one non-league to look at that could be a sectional standings game is Payton winning at West Union. I mean, West Union has been pretty good the last couple of years in their league. So that could be good for the league to just go win a game at a good Southern Hills League school.
I think that's pretty good there, Bruce. That's okay. A Paint Valley one is a good mention. That's the second year in a row Paint Valley's won at Payton, which that's not easy to do. So yeah, good stuff there.
All right, guys. Hey, we're headed toward the barn here. We'll finish the show with a new segment that several listeners really seemed to enjoy last week. And as I mentioned, this last segment of our show brought to us by the folks at North Fork Animal Clinic, 773-7387, Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff, and their facility located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, where we care. They are open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 12. And then they have the Pet Resort, which is available 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Friday, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. That is North Fork Animal Clinic. We appreciate their sponsorship here on the podcast. Well, guys, we instigated this last week, I believe, and we called it Coach's Corner. And we simply put to each of you a question, and that question being, when I was a player or younger coach, I wish someone would have told me blank. So it's sort of like Match Game. When I was a player or a younger coach, I feel like Gene Rayburn, and you're probably too young for that.
I love that show. I love that show so much.
Well, I don't have anything to match for you. Sorry, John, but I do want you to complete this. So this was kind of, Shane was kind of sharing earlier that it was a little popular last year and or last week, and so we'll let you finish this, John. When you were a player or a younger coach, you wish someone would have told you what?
That repetition makes perfection. Now, I wanted to go a little bit more towards both this week, so I didn't want to just go as a player. But also, as a young coach, it might seem boring as a player or coach to repeatedly go through a drill or an offense or a defense. But, man, the more you do it, the easier it gets. Mm-hmm. I mean, It might seem simple, it might seem remedial, might be like, oh, I did this when I was in fourth or fifth grade. But, man, just going through a simple shooting drill where you're just getting the same repetition all the time can be really important. Box-out drills can be just vital if throughout the year. And as a young coach, it's just like you don't want to just go, okay, let's just go through this for 5 minutes and then let's go play. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to remember, I mean, to build these skills, you have to do them repeatedly. You have to do them, I mean, what is it, the 10,000 hours? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to do this season, but, you know, it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at, I'll use Brandon Kennedy of Uniota. I wouldn't be surprised if that kid put in thousands of hours to get his shot down, and then you look at him. I mean, he's playing at a Division II college now because he put in the work, and his shot was the same every time. Mm-hmm. You know, now I'll use my team as an example. They do not like to go through the repetition on the offensive stuff. And last night we played a Huntington team that we needed to crank through our offense to eventually get to some stuff, and we went, okay, well, that pass might be there. And instead of grinding the clock and playing a good defensive team, and we really struggled. I mean, we were still able to get the win, but it was tough to watch. And to me, I was thinking, okay, we got to go through this stuff more. And I know they're not going to like it, and I'm probably not going to like it, because, like, honestly, I don't just go on through the stuff.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where you need to do it to where if you get in one of those grinded out games, you can do it.
Okay.
And then, yeah, it's to me, it's as a player. And when I was younger, I would go out and shoot a little bit. I would practice different shots, like, and just going off the dribble and things, but I wouldn't consistently shoot the same way. Mm-hmm. So I never turned into a really good shooter. So I think that was a big thing for me also was, you know, even if you have to do simple ball handling drills, just do them. You know, it's things will get easier, and you'll be a better player. You'll be a better coach just by going through this stuff, you know, repeatedly.
All right. Shane, when you were a player or a younger coach, you wish someone would have told you what?
Well, just to check your ego at the door and never stop learning. I think this is something that I think the coaching profession or in playing days, you know what I'm saying, when you have success early and you kind of go through and you just think, oh, it's going to be this easy all the time. You know what I mean? So you know, when I say your ego at the door, I guess what I'm saying is I wish someone would have told me that winning's really hard. You know what I mean? So, like, as a player, I was blessed to be on some really good teams, and we were really good because we worked really hard. But then I got into coaching, and some of my coaching things on the baseball side, I coached so much talent that I, you know, could have just sat over in a lazy boy and we'd have won 20 games. But, like, you know, basketball, maybe I was a little bit more on the other side, and so I started to go. But I guess what I'm saying is respect how hard winning is. Check your ego. And constantly be a student of the game. You know, when older coaches are trying to talk to you, or coaches are talking to you as a player, shut up and listen. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that the very best players I've ever coached, or that I've ever been around, not only were they talented, but they were coachable. And that includes my teammates that were really good, all the way to the kids I've coached. On the other side of that, I've coached a lot of kids that have been God-given ability far better than some that just kind of were okay, just because they refused to learn. They refused to go through, as John just said, the repetition and some of the work, and just to try it different ways. So I think that would be what I tell coaches is reach out and constantly go through your professional development. You know, I know in baseball, still after 20 years, if I get an opportunity to pick a brain of a Ron Allen, a Tony Taylor, and Ed Yates, you know, Trevor Thomas, I'm going to shut up and listen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things that, and I'm constantly looking for things. Now, on the same side of that, when you have great young coaches that are coming along too, you can learn from them. You know what I mean? You know, don't have such an ego to think that if you're talking to someone that's only been coaching 3 or 4 years that you can't learn from them. I thoroughly enjoy some of the conversations I have with some junior high coaches throughout the league. I get a chance to text and do some things. Some people at the JV level that I talk to a lot throughout. People from other sports. I'll go cross sport and I'll just talk coaching with different people a lot of times. And I just try to use it as professional development. But I think it's really important. You have to be confident in what you do. But I just hope that people understand that, man, winning's hard. It's really hard. As I tell the kids every day, I get an opportunity. If winning were that easy, everybody would do it, especially winning championships. So, yeah, just check your ego and never stop learning is what I would tell every player and every young coach for sure.
All right. I completely agree with that. I mean, I talked about that game last night. I had Coach Easterday with me, and I mean, he's a few years younger than me. We've been friends for years, but I'm watching my team struggle and I'm like, hey, coach, do you have anything on this? And it's just, you know, I believe that as a coach, you need to believe that you're going to do a good job. But at the same time, it's like, man, sometimes you got to find some help. And like you said, check your ego at the door, talk to coaches whenever you can, because like, I like talking to Shane about baseball. I mean, we're both baseball guys, and I know if I need to talk to him about basketball, I can, because he's had the experience there too. So it's just use your people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because you could always get better.
Yeah.
All righty, guys. Some good ones there in Coach's Corner. We want to mention that, you know, so much of our podcasts are generated from email, from conversations that you might have and so forth. And if you don't see one of these two guys out and about in a gym, you probably aren't looking. But if you don't get the opportunity, you can submit your ideas, your comments, your questions and so forth. You can do that to Shane through email at admin1svcsportzone.com. Through Twitter, where his handle is @svcsportzone. And of course, if you're following that Twitter handle, you also want to look for the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. We started using that earlier this year, and that's an easy way to kind of consolidate the various tweets that are going out. On Facebook, Shane maintains two profiles, one Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and one SVCSportsZone.com. For John, you can email him at jbruce1018@yahoo.com. And then on Twitter, you can search for him. His handle there is Coconut Wall Papa. And, of course, he uses the hashtag SVC Sports Talk as well. Derek still contributing. D Web writes. And he's I've seen several different articles that he's doing now. it seems like he's mixing it up on us a little bit again, but we'll continue to have him kind of adding things here on D-Web rights. So we'll be watching that. Shane, your final thoughts?
Yeah, I think, guys, it's a great show. I encourage fans to check out Derek's page on the website. Check out our wrestling coverage. Or don't forget about our junior high scoreboard, freshman scoreboard, or JV scoreboard. You can find those at the top of the varsity scoreboards. You'll just see the links there. Click on those, and we'll try to highlight some of those younger kids, and we'll obviously highlight some of our wrestlers as well as we go. So, guys, I know some of our discussions kind of took a second, third turn back and forth there, which I think always makes for a good discussion. I think people enjoy it. So use that information that Bruce passes out and let John and I know what you think, and we'll get it on the show if we can. So guys, on that note, I think we'll go ahead and get out of here this week. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes and at DBK Media Services, and for John Bruce, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.